house. I don't know whether you have ever noticed this or not, but a dwelling house, a house that we live in. Now, a house that we live in will deteriorate more rapidly when vacant than when occupied by an average tenant. And notice I said an average tenant, because the wrong person in your house will tear it up anyhow. But I had a friend of mine to buy a new home up in the, you know, the other area they call it. And he left his old house to go to his new house. And he said, well, I'm not going to get in a hurry in selling the house, the old house, or renting it. I'll just take my time. And he just kept putting it off and putting it off. And that house just kept going down, down, down. Windows began to fall out. And the paint began to peel off. Eventually, the house began to leak. Is that right? There's something strange about that. A house occupied will just last longer than a house unoccupied. So the house will tell us, use me or lose me. I want to have a witness here. And not only that, but an automobile driven by an average driver will last longer than an automobile not driven at all. Now notice I have to keep on putting this average driver, because you can put one of these fools in a car. I don't care what they come out, a Rolls Royce will last forever. It depends on who's driving. Is that right? You put the wrong person behind the wheel, and a train won't last. But an average driver driving an automobile, that car will last longer than a car sitting up. I experienced that. I remember when I was first called to the United States Army, and I had an old car there, my first car. And I really admired that car. And you know, I guess people should, they used to talk about me, like, you think that car is just everything. But you see, they didn't know how long I had walked. And that's the reason now, I don't, if people, you know, people talk about sometimes, well, all those preachers do just ride in Cadillacs. And I told them at my church, I said, if you all knew how long I walked, and how far we used to have to walk, and how hot it was, and how many holes my shoes had, you ought to just hush and go buy me another Cadillac. Now, when I first went to the Army, I had an old car, and my brother said, now listen, you ought to, you know, leave the car out so it can be driven and it will, you know, be in good shape when you get back on your first leave. But, you know, I was a little selfish. I said, no, I'm going to put my car up, and when I come back, it still will be in good shape. And I parked the car and locked it up, gave my dad my keys and said, I don't want nobody bothering my car. And when I got back several months later, rushed on back, give him a key. And first thing, the battery had ruined. That's number one. Next thing, I had four flats. I had to fix that. Next thing, I had to get the water out of the gas tank. And then the pushing began. We pushed that car half a day, and it never did start. So the car told me, use me or lose me. I have a witness there. And like that. Is that right? The human body is somewhat like that. The human body must be used its strength, its gain or retain. Strength unused becomes weakness. The man who does not work loses the ability and desire to work. Is that right? Any person who always doesn't work soon loses the intention and desire to work. Is that right? That's when you have so many lazy folks. A good way not to want to work is to stop working. This can apply to all of the members of the body. Is that right? The failure to use one of your fingers eventually will make that finger become paralyzed. Once again, back to the Army uniform, there was a boy who was in the same company I was in, and he said, "Well, Daniel, I believe I'm smarter than you all are." I said, "Well, maybe you are." He said, "I'm not going to fall out every morning in this snow." So you watch what I tell you. I'm going to figure me a way out. I said, "Well, I'm just going to fall out. I'm not going to try to buck the whole army." And one morning we were coming downstairs, and he deliberately fell downstairs on purpose. You ever see something like this? Deliberately, just fell over. And he didn't hurt himself, but he played like he was hurt. He got up hopping. I said, "What you doing, man?" He said, "You watch me." And he just started hopping. You know, everywhere you would see him, he was hopping. He went to sick call. Of course, they put him on light duty, and he didn't have to go out like others. He'd see me and wink his eye. Just hopping. I said, "Boy, you better start walking." I said, "You know, that leg." He said, "Oh, man, I know what I'm doing. As long as I can stay out of this snow, I'm smart." And he just kept, and pretty soon, it was time for us to start clearing, getting ready to come back on this side of the water, they call it, back to the United States. And you know, he started, after he found out he was getting short, we would call it when you get ready to go home, some of you old veterans know we're getting short. He decided then it was time to start using his leg, and his leg had actually paralyzed. Matter of fact, it had gotten so stiff he couldn't even bend it. He had to hop for a long. I don't know whether really his leg ever really got straightened out. So I'm here to tell you, you have to use it or lose it. Is that right? As we look at the spiritual life, the failure to use your spiritual faculties will result in the loss of them. Is that right? The failure to pray will result in the loss of your desire to pray. Or your desire to pray. There are a lot of people who used to pray, but do not want to pray now. Because the Lord started blessing them and they stopped praying. And now they don't even have a desire to pray. You have to use it or you will lose it. Is that right? There are a lot of folk used to get happy in the church. But they stopped. They stopped shouting in church because of education and because of who they got acquainted with. And now they try to get happy and can't get happy. You have to use it or you will lose it. Is that right? And then there are a lot of people who used to have joy in the home. Is that right? Used to call each other sweetheart and baby. And they just got careless and started coming home without even speaking to each other. Now they try to say because they don't have no desire to give for kingdom building. And one of the best ways to be blessed is to be a blessing. The Bible says, give, and it shall be given unto you. I better leave that alone, huh? Now, we look at our scripture text here in a very beautiful parable. We notice here that some talent were given out. And everybody decided to use his talent. But the servant who had one talent. Because he didn't have a lot of talent, he went and hid his little talent. And when the master came back, he said, now, take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which had 10 talents. You see, if you don't use what the Lord gives you for him, he has the ability to take it away from you. Is that right? Job said, the Lord give it and the Lord take it away. There are a lot of folks who could be singing in the choir. But they got where they could make a few high notes. Or got mad with somebody. And they decided to take a seat in the audience. And now if they wanted to sing, they can't sing. You got to use it or you'll lose it. So we notice here the Lord took the talent from the servant who failed to use it and gave it to another servant. And the Lord does that right now. Many times you wonder why somebody in your neighborhood is progressing faster than you. Well, it might be the Lord just might have taken your progress because you wouldn't use it and given it to somebody else. See, a lot of people mad and angry about other folk riding around, you know, she thinks she's something. She thinks she's something. I had a young lady that went on off to school. She came from a broken home. She went on off to school and never did leave the church out of her life. Her parents died. She went on off to school and ended up being somebody. But it didn't matter how much education she got, she never did forget the church. Oftentimes come to me, brother pastor, I just love the church. And then a group of the others just went on off and just neglected the church. And when this young lady walked back with her head up high, some of them come to my room, she's all right, but she just thinks she's more than somebody else. She thinks she's more than us. I said, she is. She sure is. You all, your parents had money here for you to go to school, scholarship, fellowship, and you all dropped out of school and got married and became mothers out of wedlock, did everything. Some of you got on dope. And this young lady had to sweat and work her way through school. And then you want to tell me she thinks she's more than you all, she is. If I was a young man and had to make a choice, I'd sure demonstrate it. So anybody who has Christ in his life and did everything else it takes, and a person who doesn't have Christ, that person is more. Now in the eyesight of the Lord, in a certain sense, we all are human beings, but a person who has Christ has more than a person who doesn't have Christ. I wish I had a witness here. So the Lord not only can add, but the Lord can divide. Not only will the Lord divide, but the Lord can subtract. And then the Lord can multiply. I want to do a hell of a witness. I made up my mind that talent, of those talents I have, I'm use them for the Lord. Yeah. This is true not only in the singing field or the working area, other areas, but it'll walk right on into the pulpit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every man of God, the Lord has given him a talent.
Yeah.
My talent might not be the same as Brother McKinney,
yeah,
or Brother Walker, or some other minister.
Yeah.
But the Lord has left me with a talent.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And all you got to do is be willing to use what the Lord has given you.
Yeah.
And the Lord can take whatever you have.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Some folks say, well, I don't have nothing. The Lord can take nothing.
Yeah.
And make something.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Somebody say, well, I'm nobody.
Yeah.
But the Lord can take nobody and turn around and make somebody.
Yeah.
I wonder if you'll have a witness.
Yeah.
But
right.
I made up my mind here tonight to use my talents and my gifts for the Lord.
Yeah.
And anytime you see a man starts out to work on God's program, there's always going to be somebody standing there to turn you around.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
But if you put all of your trust in God, I'm a living witness that he will stand by. Is that right? But any man who sits down on God's program, the Lord can keep you down. Is that right? And I'm going to move on here to close tonight. But my mind goes back in slavery time. Everyone said that there was an old lady, and she was some 85 or 90 years old.
Yeah.
And she had to walk across the field every Sunday to go to church.
Yeah.
And early every Sunday morning, they would see this old lady with a head rag on her head walking across the field all the way to church. And when she would get in the church many times, she would arrive there before everybody else. She would even pick up the paper on the yard. And other people around in the community said, we're wondering why you're still getting up early in the morning, walking across the field, coming to this church. Said, we know and we believe that the Lord would understand that you had an old age now. And you ought to just cool it now and sit down and rest a while. And you know you're up in the age now, and you ought not to get around like you used to do. And the old lady stood up in church that night and said, I would just like to testify, and I'd like to let the church know why I'm still getting up early in the morning, coming out to God's house. I just want the church to know why I'm still singing Amazing Grace, how sweet it sounds. I want the church to know why I'm still singing I love the Lord. I want the church to know why I'm still singing, praise the Lord, take my hand and lead me on. I want the church to know why I'm still singing, use me, Lord, in my service. Said the Lord gave it to me, and if I don't use what the Lord has given me, he'll suddenly take it away from me. And as long as I live, I'm going to stretch out on God's word. Oh, isn't that right? Long as the Lord gives me strength in my hand, I'm going to use my hand for the Lord. Long as the Lord gives me my eyesight, I'm going to use my eyesight for the Lord. I got to close here tonight. You know I'm just like that old lady was.
She's a wonder in my
soul.
Feel
that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Lazarus, Jesus' friend, his two sisters was cool with Jesus too. Jesus used to kick it at their house and eat, the scripture tells us. They cool with Jesus. They so cool with Jesus that when Lazarus gets sick, they make the assumption Jesus would come right away. Jesus is in Bethany, but when Lazarus gets sick, they say, would you come right now? And your Bible says, as opposed to coming right now, he purposely procrastinates. He comes 4 days later. Matter of fact, when he gets there, Lazarus already dead. He waits. Did I tell you that Hebraically culture means so much when you're teaching the Bible? Culture means so much. You have to know culture, because in our culture, Sister Kay and all these great funeral homes, boy, here's what they do. When somebody dies, they embalm you. And you say, well, he died today. When the funeral going to be? Well, next Sunday, because my family got to come from California. So the funeral home embalms him and holds the body until next Saturday when everyone can get here. Not so in Hebraic culture. Matter of fact, even today, Orthodox Judaism, if you die Monday, the funeral's Tuesday. Whoever can't make it just can't make it. They don't believe in embalming. So you die Monday, funeral's Tuesday. You die Wednesday, funeral's Thursday. So there is no embalming. So, of course, the body begins to decompose, to deteriorate. So Christ gets there 4 days later, and Lazarus has already died. Of course, they are perturbed and ticked off. One of them went off on Jesus. Matter of fact, both of them did, and said, had you been here, our brother wouldn't have died. They had some black in them. I can see it. I'm telling you, boy, I don't care, God or not. God or not, you ain't say that when you was eating our food coming over our house. Talking about you had to pray. You had to pray, Mr. God. Where was you at? And you couldn't even show up. But what they didn't know is sometimes he comes late on purpose. But don't worry about it, because whenever he shows up, he will show out. Can I get a witness? As a matter of fact, if you've been waiting on God and he hasn't come yet, lean on somebody and say, it's not bad enough. Go ahead. He wants it to get so bad that when he resurrects some stuff, can't nobody get the credit but him. I wish I had seven people at one of these campuses that would feel me. Did I tell y'all that he had been dead 4 days? So undoubtedly, decomposition has set in. Then Jesus said to Lazarus, come forth. But wait a minute, did I just tell y'all that he waited 4 days? They didn't embalm the body, so we know what's going on. By now, the epidermis and the skin has fell from the bone. And undoubtedly, some worms have ate some of the skin. But then wait a minute, some cat has ate the worm. But then wait a minute, why must I chase the cat? Some dog. I thought there was some cues here, had ate the cat. But then some coyote had ate the dog. But when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, the coyote spit up the dog. The dog spit up the cat. The cat spit up the worm. And the worm spit up Lazarus. Because when God called my name, whoever had me gotta let me go. Whoever I was hooked on gotta release me. However detached I was, I'm coming back together. Would you lean on somebody and say, he's calling me back together? Go ahead. That's not even my sermon. Sit down. I'm not preaching about Lazarus. Lean on somebody and say, that will preach right there. That will preach. That will preach right there. But that's not even my sermon. That's not even. That was for free. That's not even my sermon, because Okay, remember this. Remember this, because I'm homiletically tripping today. I'm homiletically tripping. I'm going a different way. So remember that Jesus told him, come forth. Would you please take a mental note that the brother that had been decompassed and deteriorated, Christ tells him, come forth. Remember that. Take a mental note. It will be important before I'm finished. Ephesians 2:1 is crazy because Ephesians 2:1 says, and you have he made alive, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, traditional King James, and you have he quickened who were dead. But then John 10 verse 10 says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. I think there's this sort of glaring to me, a kind of glaring juxtaposition between Lazarus physically and me spiritually. Because both of us were dead. Christ brings us back. Wait a minute, both of us were dead. Him physically, me spiritually. He calls us back to life. But then John 10, Jesus says this, I came not only that you may have life, but have it, life that is, more abundantly. The question that begs